qualities. Number three, to fix or lay down definitely. Who are you? Number four, to determine or fix the boundaries or extent of. Your boundaries, what do you look like? And the fifth one is pretty similar, to make clear the outline or form of. To make clear what defines you. What defines you? Now, we live in a culture that's very defined by stuff. I met a kid the other day on the bus. I was riding the bus because it was snowing. He was talking to me about his iPhone, and he has an iPhone 3. Let's cry for him. It's rough. He lives a hard life. But he's just crying, I need an iPhone 4. I need one. iPhone 3 doesn't have Siri. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I need iPhone 4. I need it. This is what he thought. But that's because everything around him was telling him that. Everything around him was telling him that he's defined by the stuff that he has. He's defined by the stuff that he has. Everywhere we go, we're told that your value rests in how much money you got in your pocket. That's what we're told. Your value depends on what clothes you got on your back. Your value depends on who you hang out with. But let me tell you something, guys. It's not biblical. It's not what the Word of God says. We are not defined by the outward appearance. In fact, Jesus speaks out against those people who look on the outward. He says to the Pharisees, you guys care way too much about the outside of the cup. But the inside is filled with dirt and grime and is nasty. And if you drink out of that cup, you're going to get sick. Because it's filled with germs. And a lot of us, we're looking good on the outside, but our inside's messed up. Our inside is really messed up. And it's because we look to the wrong things for definition. When Nate read those 17 verses, I hope you were listening. I hope you were. Because he went, in that passage, Paul went on and on and on about how the world is defined. And he talked about how the world is defined through drunkenness and slothfulness and greed and lying and all of these sins that define the world. All these sins that define the world. But then it says, but you are not defined this way. In the Bible, in that portion of scripture that we just read, it goes on to say, this is how we are defined. As God's child. Are you there? I don't know if you are. As God's child. What does that look like? Keep going, Elsa. It means we are people of compassion. We are people of, oh, you can't see it, kindness. We are people of humility. We are people of, I don't know what that one says. Gentleness. You guys are great. Gentleness. We are people of patience. We are people of love. One more time, Elsa. Love. I worked really hard on that. You guys like that? We are people of love. The question is, where do you find your identity? Where do you find your identity? So many people put their identity in the clothes that they have, the phone that they have, the friends that they have, the neighborhood they live in. And let me tell you what, you guys are falling short. You guys think you got it all together, but you don't. If you want to find your identity, I got the answer for you. I got the answer for you. Pursue God. Are you there? Pursue God. It's a constant pursuit. It's a constant pursuit. The more we pursue God, the less we pursue the things around us. The more Christ gives meaning to your life, the less you have to look around for it. You don't search for something you already got. All right, and some of you guys are searching, and you're searching in the wrong places. I'm talking to the kids right now. I'm sorry, not kids. My age and younger, right? I'm talking to you guys. I'm 25. Talking to you guys. You guys are searching for meaning in your life in all the wrong places, but you already got the answer. Thank you for the testimony of our brother who came up here and gave his testimony and said, when I was a teenager, when I was a young adult, I never got to hang out in a group like this with 150 people praising God. You guys realize how blessed you are? You guys are searching for the meaning of life, but you have it. You guys are searching for identity and definition to your life, but you already found it. Why are you still looking? Why are you still looking? You guys are looking in all the wrong places. You're saying all the wrong things. You're going to all the wrong parties. You're hanging out with all the wrong people. You're saying all the wrong things, but you already have the answer. You already have the answer. And I want to challenge you because Jesus would call you a fool. Jesus would call you a fool. Anyone who hears these words of mine and does not do what they say is like an idiot who built his house on a rock or on sand. Idiot, right? Fool. You're hearing his word, guys. You know it. You know what it's saying. And you're searching in all the wrong places. And it hurts me. Are you guys tired of searching? Are you tired of looking what the definition of your life is? Right now, a lot of us, and now I'm speaking to everybody now. I'm speaking to everybody. We're looking to see, what am I going to do with my life? Where am I going to live? Who am I going to be with? Who am I going to hang out with? Who am I going to marry? What kind of job am I going to have? What am I going to do with my life? All of us are trying to answer that question constantly. What are we going to do with our lives? We're searching and we're searching and we're searching. Are you tired of searching? Then don't look any further. Don't look any further. I searched for a long time. I grew up in the church, but I didn't get saved till just a little bit before my 16th birthday. What a waste. What a waste of 15 good years. What a waste. And some of our brothers here might say, I wasted 40 years. Some of you guys here, you were 13 years old, you say, I wasted 13 years. Stop searching. Stop searching. Look no further. When I was in high school, I was on the soccer team, and people used to call me Rosie, right? My last name's Rose, real clever, right? Rosie. They used to call me Rosebud, and they meant it as an insult, right? They meant it as an insult because it was feminine, right? It's effeminate. And I was little, and I had a high voice, and it's like, oh, Rosie, oh, whatever. But to me, that was a name of pride. And let me tell you why. I grew up in a house full of women. I was the only man there. And so Rose was my job. It was my job to take that name and then keep it going. That was my job. From the time I was a little kid, my mom told me, Justin, you got to make the name go on. From the time I was a little kid, I knew that Rose was important. I knew it was important. So other people used it as a name of ridicule. But to me, it was a name of pride. People now throw the name Christian around as an insult. They throw it around, oh, don't listen to them, they're Christians. Or, hey, don't go over there, that's a Christian group. Or that's a Christian church, don't go over there. People use it as an insult in this world to discredit us. Is it an insult to you? Or is it a term of pride? Because when you're called a Christian, that means Christ follower. And a Christ follower is someone who's defined by God. Someone who is an inheritor of God's promises. Someone who's God's child. Are you guys there? Yeah. I'm going to fly through the rest of this. I'm sorry for talking so much. Oh, I'm doing great. Never mind. I'm going to keep talking for a long time. I thought I'd been talking for like a half hour. So So is the name Krishna an insult or a term of pride? And I know some of us, we never talk about Jesus with people. We never do. And we're searching for what it means to be a person in this world. We're searching. You guys are searching. Some people in my youth group are pulling out their hair about which college to go to. Important decision, super important. Pulling out their hair about what college to go to. People, seniors in college, pulling out their hair, just stressed about what to do with their lives. But let me tell you what. Who you are is the most important part. Who you are. Who you are. Back to our term, define. What defines you? What gives you qualities? You don't have to go back there, Elsa. What qualifies in your life? What characteristics? Yeah. What characteristics define you? And so I have just from the scripture passage, I'm going to read it once more, just the first four verses, and we're going to answer the question, what I need to do if I want to be defined by Christ, all right? Because this is what I think materialism's about. This is what I think materialism's about. Being defined by objects over values. Can we agree on that? Yeah. Objects over values. So right now I'm going to say, if our end goal and our pursuit is Jesus Christ, what do we got to do to be defined by him? This is what the Word of God says. Colossians 3. Since then, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. You can go to the next slide, Elsa. One more. Yeah, so that's, you can't really see it, but it's there. Receive it. So the question is, what do you have to do if you want to be defined by Christ? The first verse tells us, set your hearts on things above. If you want to be defined by Christ, you got to set your heart on things above. Now, your heart is the center of your emotions. The heart is what we say to talk about the soul of a person. The very center of who a person is their heart. Who a person is their heart. Set your heart on things above. Now in materialism, set our heart on all kinds of things. But they're things below. If you want to be defined by Christ, you got to set your heart on things above. You got to set your desires on things above. You got to pursue things above. Because if you pursue things of this world, where moth and rust destroy, you're going to fail. You're going to miss the point. You got to set your heart on things above. Be defined in your soul, in your being, by Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want to take for granted that everyone here knows who Jesus is. I don't want to take that for granted. But Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came to earth to set you free from sin. Because God loved you so much, no matter what you did, or no matter what you haven't done. And he loves you so much that he put himself up on that cross, right? Up there, arms out, dying like a cursed thief, dying like a criminal, so that you might be able to set your heart on things above. You guys getting me? So that you can be defined by Jesus. So that you can be defined by God and not this world. Don't be defined by this world and miss the point. Don't care about what shoes you wear more than the condition of your soul. Verse 2 tells us, set your mind on things above. Not only our hearts, but our minds. So if the heart is the center of the emotions, the being, the mind is, of course, the center of thoughts. Set your thoughts on things above. What do you think about? What do you think about? What do you think about right now? Let's be honest. You have no idea what I'm thinking. No idea what I'm thinking right now. No idea. What are you thinking about? Only you can know that. Only you can know that because it's a spirit thing. It's a spirit thing. Only you can know what you're thinking about. But set your mind on things above. I'm sick and tired of hearing filthy language out of your mouths. Sick and tired of it. Sick and tired. I'm tired of you guys saying coarse jokes to each other over Facebook. I'm sick and tired of hearing crude jokes. I'm tired of it. Because the people of God don't live that way. And I'm talking to each and every one of you. I'm talking to myself too. My mind is sinful. I gotta fight it every day. Are you fighting? What are you thinking about? Set your thoughts on things above. Think about Jesus. Think about what he did. Verse 3 tells us, our life is not our own. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ on high. You've died. Now let me tell you what, this is a mystery. And there's a couple people here who went through seminary and stuff, much smarter than me, might be able to explain it to you guys. But there's a mystery that's very hard to understand. And that mystery is that when Jesus Christ took the sin of the world on him, he died, went to hell, took care of our sins, resurrected, showing that he defeated death, the final enemy. But now when we are baptized into his name through the Holy Spirit, when we believe in Jesus Christ, our life becomes part of his life. Whew, that's a mystery. I don't even understand what I just said. Our life gets grafted in with his life. Because there's two worlds, life and death. Death is sin, life is Christ. Life is Christ. To live, to truly live, is to be in Christ. Our life is not our own. Now let me ask you a question, those of you who drive. When you're driving your own car, you know, you don't pay that much attention. You kind of, you know, daydream or whip corners or park quickly, right? When you're borrowing a car, what do? You're careful. You're careful because you know if you put a scratch on that car, it's either coming out of your wallet or your flesh, right? You know I'm right. Some of you guys still got parents that take that belt out, right? I'm just joking. That was a terrible joke. It's an awful joke. I'm sorry. But when you borrow a car, you take more care of it. You're more careful. Your life is not your own. Are you being careful? The final thing I want to share with you guys today, and maybe Fonzie, if you can go play piano a little bit. Final thing I want to share with you guys is satisfaction. Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied? When we seek the world, we'll never be satisfied. Let me tell you what. There's always a new phone to get. My friend I met on the bus, always a new phone to get. As soon as he gets the iPhone 4, what's going to come out? iPhone 5. And 10 years from now, he's going to have iPhone 17 and be just as unhappy. Just as unhappy. There'll always be somebody with a hotter girlfriend, guys. Hate to tell you. There'll always be somebody younger than you who's better at your job. There's always going to be somebody who's got more than you, who's got a better house than you, who can talk better than you, who can preach better than you. There's always going to be somebody who's better than you. There's always going to be something new to seek. There's always going to be more to go after. When you seek this world, you'll never be satisfied. But the Word of God tells us, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they will be filled. Are you hungry? You'll be filled. I'm not talking about your stomach, guys. I'm sorry to confuse you. You're thinking about earthly things. Are you satisfied? When we seek God, when we seek to be defined by God, when we seek to let the cross wash over us and who Jesus is get into our very souls and get into every thought, what phone I have just doesn't matter. And what car I drive doesn't matter. When Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, he said, pray that you get your food for today. That's what you need. Pray for your food today. But a lot of us, we miss the point. We pray, God, give me an awesome job, 6 figures, so that I can eat for life. Are you seeking God or are you seeking stuff? Are you satisfied? Let me tell you, some of you guys have no idea who Jesus is. Some of you guys have not listened to one word I'm saying. Listen now. Jesus Christ wants relationship with you. He wants for you to understand who he is in your heart and in your mind. And he wants to wash over all the lies that have been given into your spirit from the time you were a little kid. The lies that you need to get more. The lies that you're not good enough. The lies that he or she is better than you. Because let me tell you what. God made all people and said, it is good. All people are made in God's image. Some of you today need to find Jesus. Some of you have been searching and searching and searching, but you're looking in all the wrong places. You already got the answer. Why are you worried? Why are you looking? You got the answer. Only a fool keeps looking for something he's already got. Are you satisfied? Some of you are satisfied. Some of you guys are content in the Lord. Some of you guys have figured out how to be defined by the Lord and how to let the Spirit of God wash over you. How to let him into your heart and in your mind and your whole life. Don't stop. Push forward. Now in the Salvation Army, we have a really beautiful tradition called the mercy seat. And I hope you guys in the ARC use this mercy seat. But up here you see there's this little step right here. And throughout the history of the Salvation Army, people who are serious about making decisions for Christ come to this place. This is where the best battles are fought. This is where the best battles are fought. Because you're not just saying, you know, in your heart, you know, God, this is what I want. You're taking a stand. This is where battles are fought and where battles are won. Where victories are won. So I invite you guys, we're going to pray. I don't know what it's going to look like necessarily. But you're free. You're free to stand. You're free to sit. You're free to lay. You're free to come to this place and say, God, I want to be defined by you. God, I don't want to be defined by this world anymore. I don't want to be defined by the lies of the devil. I don't want to be defined by materialism and the things of this world, but I want to be defined by Jesus Christ. Are you satisfied today? Let's pray together.